I went around, talked to a few other sponsors, ended up selecting a guy that I'd done a bunch of deals with successfully. So I went through a selection process on that, and with the understanding also that he was going to help raise some of the capital.
Welcome to Multifamily Deal Lab, where your host, Dave Lindahl, dissects recent multifamily deals done by his guests. Dave will extract what went right, what went wrong, and a number of key takeaways so your next deal may be more profitable.
All right, welcome everybody. Welcome to another edition of Multifamily Deal Lab, where we dissect deals. And with me is my guest, Stephen Pack. And Steve, tell everybody who you are and where you're from.
I'm a Wall Street banker, originally from Detroit, Michigan. I moved to New York after graduating from Princeton back in 1988. I came down to Florida about 2 years ago to help my father. I actually changed residency to Florida in November of 2020 and been down here ever since. Starting to go back to New York a little bit once in a while to renovate my apartment, but pretty much down in Florida full time. Still doing the hospital business, but converting over to doing multifamily increasingly.
So what led you into multifamily from that background?
It's a really good question. I was with my dad summer of 2019 on vacation. I was telling him that, you know, about the six basic human needs that Tony Robbins talks about. One of which is you have to grow. I'd been in the hospital finance business for 30 years. And I was like, Dad, I'm not growing. I've seen everything there is in healthcare. I still enjoy doing those deals. I love my clients. I still do that. But I got to a point professionally that I just wasn't growing. So I was like, all right, what's a way to leverage my skill set? I thought getting back into multifamily at RE Mentor was way to go.
Awesome. So it's interesting that you talk about Tony Robbins, because one of the things I notice is that people that have been successful in any line of work, typically along the way, understand that in order to get there, you have to go through a lot of self-improvement. Wall Street banker putting deals together. And, you know, you mentioned Tony Robbins and the fact that, you know, the six basic human needs, and one of them is the need to grow. So, and this is what I always talk about when I'm doing an onboarding from a boot camp, people that are just starting out. One of the things I tell them is there's two things that you've got to do. Number one, you've got to be a good underwriter. The first thing you got to do is learn how to be a good underwriter. And then secondly, you've got to win the battle in your mind every day. You've got to start a course of self-improvement and keep doing it to your end days. And all successful people have done that. All right. So let's talk about this 32-unit deal that you got down in near Charleston, in Somerville, South Carolina. First of all, interesting the way you found it. Tell everybody how you found that deal.
Well, actually, it's related to my other business. So I have a client, a big healthcare system in Charleston, and I do a lot of deals with them. So I'm there frequently. Like everybody, I was struggling with which markets should I focus on. I was getting pulled here, there. You know, another student was saying, hey, what about Texas? So Don Goff, phenomenal coach, he was like, look, you really need to narrow your markets into one or two. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to look where my clients are. I know a lot about what they're doing in those markets. In particular, my client in Charleston was building a new hospital in a suburb called Somerville. So I was like, okay, look at Somerville. So about to go to Charleston. This was right before COVID started, February of 2020. And I remember Jeff Lindahl at Immersion Training reminded us, you know, hey, if you're going down to see a market, make sure you fill your calendar up. I was like, you know what? I got a free afternoon on Thursday. I went on Crexy, typed in Somerville. First deal that came up was this deal. I called the broker up. He took my call right away. And I said, hey, I got a free afternoon Thursday. Can I see you at this property? He's like, yeah. Ended up being the deal that I did. So
that is so unusual in the respect that the Charleston market is such a tight market to get into. And you really need to have good relationships. It's a small market. It's a really good market, yep. But it's a tight market. You need to have really good relationships. And very rarely do you find a good deal on Crexy. You know, Crexy is a place where they go after their clients. Everybody on their list doesn't want to do the deal. So they put it on Crexy and expose it to everybody. And hopefully somebody comes along. You know, so this one was right there in the market that you were going to. So the odds on that are so slim. Although that being said, there are deals on Crexy. Same thing back in the day when LoopNet was the big place to go. Even LoopNet's still around, but we found a deal in Austin, Texas. Now you can never do a deal in Austin, Texas. Ever since I've been investing in the Texas markets in the early 2000s, it's always been difficult to get a deal in Texas. We were on LoopNet one day. The owner is up in Minnesota, puts it on LoopNet because he didn't want to do it with a broker, and we scooped it up really quickly. So the Crexley LoopNet, the internet should not be your primary source of finding deals. Brokers, direct mail should be, but it should be inside of the mix. Yeah. All right. So this deal had a pretty heavy lift, and I noticed. Now, what year was it built? Oh, tell everybody how many units and what year it was built.
32 units built in 1984 and renovated by the previous seller in 2018 and 2019.
Yeah. So that's the interesting thing. So, and then what was the offer price? Not the price that you bought it for, but the offer price.
3.5.
So 3.5 million. So the interesting thing is it was recently renovated in 2019, but I see down here on the info sheet that you put 32,000 in rehab per unit on this deal. Tell us about that.
I didn't, the previous seller.
Previous seller had? Okay, I read that wrong. Then was this a momentum play? It was cash flowing at closing?
Yeah, I think it was a couple things. It was cash flowing. They'd only finished the work a couple months before, you know, you put it on the market. So really didn't have a good T12 at that point, but he's a developer and he had no interest in staying in the property. So I think that was to our advantage, but he did all the heavy lifting in terms of renovations, new kitchens, new flooring, new roofs, HVACs. You know, we basically got everything. I wouldn't say it was like new, but like, for example, it was missing dishwashers. So we had some value add plays like that. But largely, I didn't want it as my first deal. I didn't want to have a huge lift in terms of CapEx.
Pretty smart. Yeah. And this was going into COVID.
Exactly. Right? Well, when I saw it, it wasn't COVID yet, but yeah, it became the next month. I was there end of February of 2020.
And then you're not sure what's going to happen. So now a lot more risk is in the marketplace. Now, did you say that he had 3 months of numbers coming out of that renovation?
Yeah, roughly 3 to 4 good months of numbers.
What type of funding did you get? And how did they analyze this deal with you?
Well, the deal really kind of got put in abeyance because of COVID. So I interviewed a property manager, actually a couple when I was there, effectively selected one. And when COVID started, she gave me great advice. She said, look, we really need to see what collections are coming in. You remember, the world was like upside down.
Oh, yeah.
So I was like, you know what? You're right. I'd had a lot of good discussions with the seller. And by the way, one thing that was really helpful with the seller was he develops a lot of property in downtown Charleston and has property across the street from the same hospital that is my client. So when he required all the potential buyers to interview on Zoom, he's like, oh, so why are you looking in Charleston? So he's like, whoa, okay, you work with MUSC. Yeah, I've got property right across the street. So we found some commonality that, and I think he was thinking, I might be able to do business with this guy in the future. And frankly, I wasn't the highest bid. I think he just wanted that relationship.
That goes to show what commonality does when you can find it with somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you weren't the highest bid. And also, it took a little while to get to your actual price. So what price did you start at? And talk about the negotiation process, the back and forth.
Yeah. So we came pretty close. I think I was around 3.1. He had come down to about 3.2. And then COVID was really kicking in. I took the advice of the property manager. A 1031 investor came in. So the deal kind of got put on ice a bit. You may recall we were being inundated with invitations for webinars. I went on a Marcus Millichap webinar. This is probably like in April. They were confirming, yeah, deal flow is just getting crushed. The very few deals that are getting done, there's usually some kind of creative financing technique like a rent reserve, rent collection reserve fund. Oh, that's interesting. I deal with reserve funds in my hospital business. It's common. So I went back to the broker and I said, what if the seller would consider putting up some kind of protection? And he's like, well, I've never seen that, but I'll ask. Came back. He's willing to do it. He had so much confidence in the property, frankly, that he was like, look, I'm going to do this for you. But I really think he was like, this guy's going to really well on this property. So yeah, we tapped it, but I think his instincts were correct and it kind of broke our standstill and we ended up moving forward. So rates were obviously very low. I dealt with Arbor Mortgage through a broker and we ended up closing in September of 2020.
So also the bank required a reserve. I think you call it a COVID reserve. You want to talk about that?
Yes. In our case, it was about $212,000. Instead of having the investors put up that difference, I decided just to put it up myself, just make it cleaner, knowing that it's probably going to get released in the next year or two. And that's exactly what happened.
But if it didn't have to be used, what were the stipulations of that reserve? What would it be used for?
I don't remember exactly, Dave, but I believe if we hit certain thresholds and we couldn't pay the debt service, they would have a reserve. I don't remember exactly what they could use it for, but obviously debt service would be the Keith.
So they had a $212,000 reserve to offset their risk, and you had a $150,000 reserve to offset your risk.
Right.
That's pretty good. Pretty good. One of the surprises during the home inspection was something about the floors. You want to elaborate on that?
We really found that out later, Dave. We didn't see that at the due diligence. I mean, we did see one or two that had issues, but that was in September. And then over the winter, maybe because of the change in the weather, all of a sudden, a majority of the floors are getting cracked and they're brand new floors. We were really upset about it, obviously. And long story short on that, I ended up going back to the seller. The installation was done incorrectly. Apparently, he wasn't licensed properly, the installation guy.
Mm-hmm.
He was licensed for residential, but not for multifamily residential. So that was one issue. I didn't know that going into it, obviously. Apparently, he didn't leave enough room, the baseboard area, and he didn't acclimatize the ply before he actually installed it. So we were stunned. I mean, each floor is about $2,000, $2,500. So that was a huge surprise for us. I went back to the seller. We settled on an amount to get some of that reimbursed. We might still go after the installation company, but at this point, we're actually going back into the market to sell it. So not sure if I'm going to go after the installer or not.
Before we talk about your sale price and the raise, you are at Insiders Club. So I'm going to do a quick plug on Insiders Club. What do you think about Insiders Club?
Oh my gosh. I sent Jeannie a note after. Definitely got re-inspired. Yeah, I was already mentored 10 years ago, by the way. Ed Oliver was my coach. I got sidetracked into private lending, George Antone's program, thanks to an email from you. But I had been out of the business, so to speak, for quite a while. But I'm sorry, you asked about the sell price?
No, about Insiders Club. So let me, So one of the things about Insiders Clubs, I know, so you just said you audited for 10 years and Ed Oliver was there. You get to listen to all the different things he accomplished and his challenges at this particular point, which is basically how to spend his money and reinvest it.
Yep.
And then Mike Flaherty wasn't at that one, but he'll be at the next one. In 10 years, I think he's done probably 800 million in deals. But just the, you know, the people around the table you look at and like, shit, I was here 10 years ago and look where these people have gotten to, you know? And then the great thing about that is, first of all, beginning of a reset. And then in the next 10 years, you know, all you really need is 3 to 5 years and boom, you're right back up there with.
What was really helpful to me was, I mean, you spent a lot of time on the inner game. You call it the mindset.
I call it successful mind syndrome. I want everybody to have successful mind syndrome.
Really emphasized it and starting the day with Qigong. And for me, I got re-inspired and setting up a new company. And I'm talking to your colleague, Chris Homick, this afternoon about a website. For me, it was great. I had to be a caretaker for about a year after this deal closed for my dad, but I'm trying to get refocused. And that Insiders Club meeting was just phenomenal. I really thank you for that.
Excellent. Anybody interested in Insiders Club, you can call the office 781-878-7114 and you can talk to somebody about it. Next meeting's in San Diego in June, right on La Jolla Shore Beach. All right. So let's talk about I want to talk about the raise. How'd you raise the money for this deal?
So I ended up, wasn't a large deal. The loan broker said I could probably do it myself in terms of, even though I had not done multifamily before, I'd done a lot of silent investing, had not done it, you know, been in a GP. I was like, no, you know, if there's any question about that, if it's going to make it easier, I'll just partner with somebody. So I went around, talked to a few other sponsors, ended up selecting a guy that I'd done a bunch of deals with in George Antone's private lending program successfully. So he's out of Jacksonville, which is actually pretty close to Charleston. So I went through a selection process on that and with the understanding also that, you know, he was going to help raise some of the capital. The raise was about $915,000.
Mm-hmm.
I put up about 155 plus the 212 for the COVID reserves. And then we raised the balance. I think he put up about 50. And then the balance was raised by investors. For investors, we recorded it. We really didn't have much problem raising the capital. You know, we were right in the middle of COVID, but frankly, just wasn't too hard. I was actually more worried about the debt, frankly, just getting through their 80 item process.
So you basically accumulated a bunch of names, people that raised their hands that they would be interested in investing one of your deals. One came up and then you did a webinar call with them and showed them the deal and raised it. One of the fastest ways to raise it. So sales price. What's your all-in price right now? You got it for what? Just under 3.2?
Just under 3.2 and we're remarketing it actually this week at around $5
million. 1.8, 1.7. Profit. Not bad. Not bad for a small property like that.
For 2 years.
Two years too. I mean, where else can you make 1.7 in 2 years?
One of the things I didn't mention earlier was, again, the market. You've emphasized this in your books and your programs and your speeches. I mean, it was just fortuitous that I have a client in a market that's developing a new hospital 30 minutes away in a suburb. Now another hospital is building a competitive hospital right next to that one. So that there's two new hospitals going up in and around Somerville. A Walmart distribution center was going up. That was 1,000 jobs right there. So I did have a leg up on what was going on in the market. And also knowing that these hospital projects take a while. The financings can take 1 to 2 years and then they have to construct them. So you're talking about 4 to 5 years between when we were closing and when those hospitals will be opening up or even later. So I felt if we had to stay in this for 5, 6, 7 years until those, you know, kind of come online, those are going to raise the tide, so to speak, of the local economics. So having a handle on the market was critical, and having that connection with the hospital was huge.
That's excellent information. All right, we're going to get the lightning round. So I'm going to ask you a series of questions. Some of these questions are odd, so just give you a heads up. What's the best business book you've read recently?
I reread Emerging Markets.
Oh, excellent. Who do you like better, Stones or Beatles?
Beatles.
Would you want to live forever?
No.
What's the last inspirational movie that you've watched?
I just rewatched Hoosiers.
How many pull-ups can you do in a row?
Weight assisted, I think it's like 25 or 30.
Weight assisted?
Yeah.
That's a good way to put it. What's the fastest speed you've ever driven in a car?
110.
And do you have a favorite go-to source when you need inspiration? For instance, videos, podcasts?
I'd say Tony Robbins.
Excellent. And last question, is the Hokey Pokey really what it's all about?
Sure.
All right. This has been another edition of Multifamily Deal Lab, where we dissect deals step by step. Thank you, Stephen, for coming on and sharing all the great information with us.
You're welcome, Dave. It's an honor to be here.
This has been another edition of Multifamily Deal Lab. If watching on YouTube, please be sure to hit the like button, the subscribe button, so you don't miss the next session, and review the contact links on this page.